Hey there, my name is Kyle McCaffrey. I'm the founder and lead trainer of Hero Bells, and welcome to episode 14. The truth about feet and their power is so old that human beings have forgotten it ever existed. We're too busy wearing shoes we think are comfortable, shoes we believe support our weight, but to even think about the meaning of our feet, their purpose in our lives. But the truth is, without proper feet, there is no proper punching or lunging or dodging or basic movement. Today's podcast is a reading from the book Way of the Fight by George St. Pierre. George St. Pierre is a retired Canadian professional mixed martial artist. He is widely regarded as one of the greatest fighters in mixed martial arts history. He is a two-division champion in the Ultimate Fighting Championship, having won titles in the welterweight and middleweight divisions. St. Pierre is a three-time former UFC welterweight champion, having won the title twice and the interim title once between November 2006 and April 2008. St. Pierre was ranked as the number one welterweight in the world for several years by Sherdog and numerous other publications. In 2008, 2009, and 2010, he was named the Canadian Athlete of the Year by Rogers Sportsnet. Fight Matrix lists him as the top MMA welterweight of all time and most accomplished fighter in MMA history. He retired as a reigning welterweight champion on December 13th, 2013, having held the record for the most wins in title bouts and is the second longest combined title streak in UFC history, which is 2,204 days, while defending his title nine consecutive times. He returned to the octagon in November 2017 at UFC 217 when he defeated Michael Bisping by submission to win the middleweight title, thus becoming the fourth fighter in the history of the UFC to be a multi-division champion, and therefore someone I greatly admire. I think in a time of celebrity, he stands out as the ideal athlete and responsible representation of the hero. And I know it sounds corny, considering the name of my brand, which would Hero Bells, and it sounds corny, but it really does stand out to me. And there's a reason why I have that name for the company, and it's because of people like him, and also people who are actually more like unsung heroes, the people who are at the bottom and are just constantly fighting for themselves, whatever their struggles are. But anyway, I think he really stands out as the ideal man, I suppose. He's a fantastic athlete. And what I really like about him is that he's very scientific about the way he approaches his training. And I think that in this book, I tried to find a passage in here that would be really useful to you in a practical kind of way, even though he's just telling a story. The UFC, on the other hand, which he's related to, obviously, because he's the champion in the UFC, it has an interesting dichotomy of how fighters represent themselves in order to promote themselves. You have to promote yourself to some degree if you don't have a fighting style that sets you apart from others. And you know what? Of course, there's nuances that other fighters recognize, but as fans and casual fans, which I think I kind of get into this really weird gray area of what kind of fan I am, but you have to promote yourself to more to casual fans than to fighting fans, because people know you as a fighter mostly by your antics outside of fighting. Whereas fighters or competitors or athletes, they tend to see things more for, like micro details, and that will of course set you apart. But just to the layperson, you know, a lot of fighters will look a lot alike. Every once in a while, you might hear a few noises, a few clicks or something like that, or me turning the cap on my water bottle or drinking. So I apologize in advance. Excuse me. So some fighters become humble, become the humble hero, or become a villain. And as a fan, you might find yourself in one of two camps: honorable, intelligent, and of kind sportsmanship, or a shit-talking badass that celebrates his or her rough edges as advantages. And I have no problem with any of them. It's more the lengths that people will go to in order to get the attention that tends to bother me. So a name like that would be like Colby Covington. If you follow the UFC, you'll know his name very, very well. Maybe even if you don't, he tends to get very political and bring politics into the sport. And that's something that I really, I detest as somebody who is a fan of that sport. But we're going to get into a different topic, as you heard from the introduction, that we're going to be talking a little bit about the importance of feet, but I'm going to tell you a little bit more about George and the UFC and the type of person he is and why what he has to say matters, because he isn't a scientist by trade. He is just somebody who is highly intelligent and adapts very well when he gets information. And I really admire his intelligence as much as I admire his athletic ability. So let's see here. Oh, excuse me. So if you're in one of those two camps, I find myself appreciating more the hero type, the person who is a humble warrior, isn't brash, isn't shit-talking, doesn't disparage their opponent. I'm not necessarily one of those people who thinks, you know, you have to bow and into formalities. It's just, I like the way people conduct themselves, especially since they are, what would you say? I guess kids idolize them, you know, they're role models. And that was the word I was looking for. And I think that matters, especially when it comes to sport. To be somebody that you wouldn't want to idolize, but still wanting them to win is a really strange place in the mind that I find myself very incapable of getting there, as much as I find it entertaining. It likely, in the case of promoting yourself as a villain, the persona typically doesn't match the reality anyway. So you have fighters like Nick Diaz or Nate Diaz. They're actually great humanitarians. They focus very highly on their diet, helping out their community. And they do triathlons. They're very, very involved with extracurricular things. Their whole world isn't necessarily about fighting in the UFC. At least it doesn't seem like that. But when they are fighting, they tend to gravitate towards being the villain in the story of the fight being built up and of the actual fight happening, and it gets a lot of emotion involved. He's a great example of somebody who comes across as a villain, but is actually quite an important person in his community and as a man. The hero always seems to stand out because it genuinely represents the athlete. I think a lot of athletes are humble people, and I think most people gravitate towards that. And to be fair, there probably are several athletes that represent themselves as a hero, but everyone knows they're not. Athletes like Stephen Avery of the NHL, who conducted himself like a bully teenager high on Monster energy drinks, or John Copenhaver, I think that's how you say his name. He was called War Machine. He also fought in the UFC. He was convicted of sexual assault. And I think that when you have these kinds of people and they're not actually the hero, all their hard work tends to get squandered when they lose their reputation. And it really does suck. And it just, I guess it's one of those things that you shake your head at. It's more sad than anything. But anyway, I'm not sure that fighters that appear neutral are in fact neutral, but instead they're just not charismatic. That's kind of how I feel. I think there's fighters like Demetrius Johnson that is, he himself is one of the best fighters that's ever existed. And at least in the UFC, and of course it's arguable, but he didn't have an it factor that was sellable en masse. And you know what? He stuck to his guns and he stayed humble and just kept doing what he did. And I love that about him. One thing I love about George is that he's very dispassionate about his scientific view of training. And I think that anyone can appreciate that. So in the book, George talks about the many things he improved in order to become a champion and stay a champion, which is apparently the harder part. And that's saying something, considering that just becoming a champion is hard enough. So he talks here about the feet, which I don't know why it just sounds so silly when I say it, but the feet are something I'm beginning to look at a lot because the arches in my feet started to collapse about 10 years ago. And of course, were not great through most of my life anyways. I couldn't really generate power and I didn't really know why until I started getting older and involved in the fitness industry and things like that. So I've been fighting with it since. It's been absolutely terrible. But George talks about the importance of feet. So let's get into the book here just a little bit. This is George talking. My feet are the most powerful, important parts of my body, but for most of my life, I ignored them. For most of my life, my feet were dead until I had to fix my knee. My feet keep me balanced, centered, and they represent everything I stand for, literally and figuratively. My feet are the genesis of all my power. They're the beginning. Yet for most of my existence, for a lot of my training, for years and years, repetitions and exercises, they've been almost useless to me. In fact, when I was a little kid, I walked on my tiptoes. Over time, this caused me to walk with my feet pointing out like a duck. And because of that, I was losing power. I was losing explosiveness and balance. Obviously, you're going to be starting to see why I'm bringing this up and why it's so important. And I think just these anecdotes are really, really important. And from somebody like George, I think you get quite a bit of credibility if you consider his resume. Back to the book. Essentially, I've let my feet down. We all do. But for me, it was quite important that I change that. Never was this more evident than when I beat Matt Hughes in our title rematch. We were boxing mostly, and he went low, and I caught him in the head with a left kick that dropped him, stunned. I finished with fists and elbows, but I won because of my feet. The truth about feet and their power is so old that most human beings have forgotten it ever existed. We're too busy wearing shoes we think are comfortable, shoes we believe support our weight, to even think about the meaning of our feet, their purpose in our lives. But the truth is, without proper feet, there is no proper punching or lunging or dodging or basic movement. Until the invention of shoes, human beings always walked barefoot. We were and are primates. Our closest relatives, like it or not, are the great apes. And in the past, just like apes, we wore, so to speak, or as he put in quotes, bare feet. We wore bare feet, which meant that we had more sensation, more control. Our feet were better tools like our hands are today. We train our hands all the time. Why is that? Almost most of us are better with one hand more than the other. We know we can train ourselves to become ambidextrous. Larry Bird, the great basketball player, could dribble the ball with both hands by the time he was 4 years old. Tim Raines, the great Expos outfielder, was one of the best switch hitters of all time. He could hit with both left and right sides of the plate. Shoes kill the sensations in our feet, which affects stability. You start compensating for your lack of balance with your knees, hips, and other parts of your body. This might sound familiar. For me, it's my hips. I tend to feel everything in my hips if anything's not going right. Lately, I've been using a little video that I picked up from Agatsu, which was the company that certified me with kettlebells. There's one of the trainers, and I can't remember her name for the life of me at the moment, but she made a great video about how to condition your feet if you, especially for someone like me, you might have you might not be using your big toes. But even still, even if you're not using your big toes, you can use these exercises. Now, you might be asking why the big toes, the biggest toe and the second biggest toe are so important, but it requires those two toes in order to balance properly and not have your ankle pronate or the knee pronate. And in that chain, you can start to get hip problems, and it actually goes both ways. So it's really important to take care of your feet if you haven't gathered that yet. Where were we? So he says you start compensating for your lack of balance with your knees, hips, and other parts of the body. This is not good. It's bad, in fact, because it leads to various kinds of joint and structural pains that evolve with time. Did you know that our toes and feet can keep our balance better than anything else? It seems pretty obvious. They keep us centered. Every single movement we make starts with our feet. Feet are the genesis of all movements, especially in mixed martial arts. It's where most of our power comes from. Think about it and try it. If your feet are not well positioned on the ground, how can you effectively change direction? If your base is not well positioned, you have to move one of your feet first, then apply pressure to generate movement. Then move the other foot, and then you can generate any kind of power or momentum. I'm going to read that again. where bloody hell. If your base is not well positioned, you have to move one of your feet first, then apply pressure to generate movement, then move the other foot, and only then can you generate any kind of power or momentum. This sounds a lot like walking, I know. In the octagon or on the basketball or tennis court, or when you're running after a ball or trying to deke your opponent, walking isn't the solution. It takes time and it wastes energy. By being in the right position to begin with, you save time and energy, and you maximize power. In most situations, I can't afford to lose even a fraction of a second. That's what happens when you become better at something. Your margin for error is reduced. The better you get, the less room for error there is. In my sport, a fraction of a section is, why do I keep saying section? In my sport, a fraction of a second is the difference between someone who is considered fast and someone who is considered slow, winning and losing, champion and has been. I used to lift all kinds of weight with and for my legs, but my feet weren't even an afterthought. My feet were essentially dead. I had no real sensation there. Those days are over. Ever since I started my recovery from my knee surgery, I've been working on my feet. Why? Well, as the ancient Greeks believed, my soul is in my feet. Think about this. There are over 7,200 nerve endings in each of your feet. That means that if your brain is a computer, it gets information from over 7,200 sources placed on each foot. The kind of critical information that determines where you stand, which direction you must move in, registers what is happening all around you, and helps you get to where you want to go. Yet every time you wear shoes or sandals, you're breaking your connection to the ground. You're losing valuable information or intelligence. Your information circuit is broken, and your power potential is completely diminished. This may not be a big deal if you're sitting at the computer all day, but if you're interested in any kind of physical activity, it makes a big difference. So training with any other than my bare feet just doesn't make much sense to me anymore. I'm kind of thinking the same thing, but for me, I tend to be working outside and in public quite often, or on a slippery surface, so I use really grippy shoes. And I do have the dorky finger-toe shoes, the Vibram ones, or Vibram, however you say it. And those are pretty good. I actually really like them, but I'm not really that comfortable going out in public with them. I wonder if they should make them like, like a pride glove where your toes would just be underneath and you couldn't see them. You just look like you're wearing a shoe, just no sole. I wonder if that's going to be the next iteration of barefoot type shoes. Anyways, he started studying Russia's Olympic coaches. Back to the book. I started studying what Russia's Olympic coaches and athletes have been practicing and perfecting since the early 1950s, training barefoot and the like. I thought, if I'm going to change how I use and train my feet, I want to know how other people did it before me. If I can learn from their mistakes, I'll shorten my path to important knowledge. You can take that little nugget into anything right there. Is you want to learn from the best, learn from their mistakes, and that will shorten the path of knowledge. To knowledge, rather. The elementary truth is that feet are all about posture. They determine how you carry yourself. So if you're just starting out, maybe you're not an athlete and you're not worried about power generation or anything like that. Maybe you're the depressed type and you're in a hunched over position even when you're walking. That definitely plays into how your mind works and your mood. And maybe it wouldn't be so far-fetched to look at your feet and see if you're able to stand up properly. And I would definitely just start by getting that tested. I've had it tested before and they get you to stand on this weird pad and put you in front of a camera to see if your posture is all over the place or if it's your feet that have collapsed or your knees are pointed inward or anything like that. Where are we? When people look at you, they may not see your feet, your foundation, but the way you represent yourself certainly has an effect on their perception. They say that body language is more than 90% of how people interpret others. That's another reason why feet are so important. And we see the role they play in all kinds of specialized disciplines, whether it's Kung Fu, Karate, Savate, Muay Thai, is it Muay Thai? I think it's Muay Thai. Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, or even chakra meditation, reflexology, Tai Chi, or just ordinary walking. You might be thinking this is a tad eccentric. In our modern world, and after years of wearing padded shoes everywhere for everything, there is something weird about the idea of doing more things in our bare feet. And don't get me wrong, I'm not planning on walking downtown Montreal in my bare feet. but we wear padding on our feet because we don't know how to use them properly anymore. But anyway, I wanted you to hear this passage and understand what where he comes from and why. He's giving you, of course, just a brief overview of history and how it's a really recent invention that we have shoes, and it makes perfect sense that we're not really in touch with the ground anymore. I know there's, if you follow Ben Greenfield Fitness, he's on Instagram. Right now, he's kind of going through a kick where he's, I guess he's saying that there's healing qualities in being able to walk around barefoot on the ground and increasing the connection to the ground. And it's, you know, to me, it just sounds like woo-woo crap, but I want to see where he goes with this and see if any science comes up because of the popularity he brings to the idea. I'd heard things similar to this before. Dave Asprey from he has his Bulletproof brand. That was a tongue twister for me for some reason. He was talking about a thing that you put out your window, I guess, and it was like a mesh net. I think it was like made of silver or something, and it was supposed to bring energy from outside into your room while you slept or some shit like that. And I haven't heard anything from it, and that was some years ago. But I'm not really a big Dave Asprey fan, only not necessarily the science that he represents, but maybe more just him as a salesman. But anyways, what's worse is that some shoes actually exacerbate the problem by being too flat or having too high of a heel or even just a bad fit. And this is the case for me. I wore skate shoes, which are notoriously flat and with tons of padding around the foot. It was just terrible for my feet. Like that, I think that was probably one of the biggest contributing factors for my arches in my feet collapsing and causing all sorts of issues. And I think it was this and a few other things that made my arches collapse. Yeah, I'm trying to think. But anyway, thank you very much for listening. And that was The Way of the Fight by George St. Pierre. Just a short passage. I hope you enjoyed it, and we'll see you next time. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. I hope this podcast was useful to you. I want to let you know that I have more tips and workouts available on YouTube that will also help you along the way of your training. Just search Hero Bells and please comment. I love comments. Like and subscribe, turn on notifications, and check in often. Thanks so much again. Have a great day.